Welcome to the Attached Life podcast. This series is a brand new series called In the Beginning. I'm really excited about it. It's very unique. Instead of just talking about concepts of therapy that I used to when I first started my podcast, and then instead of the next iteration where I had monologues telling you stories of healing, we called it, stories of sessions that I had with clients, we're now going a step further. We're taking you inside the actual experience of a live session. I'm recording sessions with actual people, real people, couples, individuals, men and women, who are struggling or facing a variety of different life challenges. Challenges that are just life challenges, challenges that are relatable to each and every one of us in different ways. And I'm just doing therapy with them. I'm doing what I do with all my clients, trying to show up for them and trying to support and help them in whatever way that I can. And you, the listener, get to be present to that. You get a seat in the office, in the experience, and I hope that you will find it meaningful, relatable, possibly healing, transformative, and impactful on your own life, your own struggles, and bring you more meaning, purpose, and fulfillment in your life. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoy. I call this series In the Beginning for a number of reasons, and I'll leave it to each listener's own interpretation of what some of those reasons might be. But one of them is because my personal belief is that most of what we see, most of what we encounter on the surface, most of what presents itself as our challenges or struggles is just the very top of the water, skimming the surface of the water. But there is a depth, an oceanic depth underneath. And that most of what we're experiencing in the present is rooted in something deeper, something earlier. And we're looking for that source. We're looking for the beginning. As the pasuk, the verse says, Chacham Einav Barosho, the wise person's eyes are on his head. Very unclear what that means, but one interpretation that's given is Rosh means the beginning. The wise person is the one who's looking for the beginning of things. If we want to understand where something comes from, what's really happening, we're looking to the depths of the ocean, not just the surface. We're looking for what's underneath, we're looking for what's in the beginning and how it's impacting us, how it's animating what's taking place in our lives today. This episode is a session that I did with an amazing couple, a young couple, and I give them so much credit. I think it's so phenomenal that early in their marriage, they are addressing different things that they're experiencing, especially because, as you'll see in the episode, they're not actually experiencing anything particularly crisis-oriented. It's nothing terrible that's going on. They are actually just experiencing regular adjustments of a newlywed couple and needing to figure that out. But those conflicts and contrasts of personalities and ways of being that a new couple experiences can spiral in one of two directions. It can spiral into distress, or it can spiral into a positive feedback loop of helping each other. And that's why it's so great to actually address these things in the beginning. And as you'll see, even the beginning is not actually the beginning, because the beginning of their relationship and what they're experiencing is actually rooted in things that predated their relationship. At the end of the episode, I spend a few minutes talking to them about how coupleships can go and develop in one of two directions. And I elaborate more on what I'm trying to share right now. But I hope that in this couple's dynamic, you might be able to see something that relates to you and that you can integrate and think about for yourself. Without further ado, let's jump right into the session. Hi, guys. Thanks for being here. Good to spend this time with both of you.
Yeah, this was.
So tell me a little bit about what you hope to use this time for, what you, if this goes as well as it possibly could, what would you hope that at the end of our time today you're walking out with?
I would say I think that we're looking for more clarity in terms of where our work is together and where our work is separately, something that we can have a better idea of where the divide of personal, individual work is, and then joint work is, and the things that we are noticing are challenging for us.
Okay. And what about, what would you say?
I would agree. I would second that. Really just
just help knowing where, like fine tuning exactly where the work we have to done and how, just learning how to operate together as we're running on such, we're such two different breeds, two different, like we're both humans, but I think that might be where a lot of it starts and ends. So we have so much in common, but there's also so much that we have different, and just learn how to live together and come together and communicate together. Can be very helpful.
Yeah. Okay. So if I understand correctly, kind of implicit in what you're both saying about kind of doing work and understanding the work, implicit in that is that there's something to be working on, or meaning that there's areas that you're experiencing as challenging in your relationship right now. So I guess would you be able to give me a little bit more of a picture of that, of what that is, of what the struggles are, you know, where you could use some help?
So to start off, I'm just much more, to start off my personality, I'm a more anxious, impulsive, efficient, very into like working smartly, and everything's like checked off. Like I tell you what time I'll be there, I'm there 4 minutes before. You know, like everything's just like a whole, like everything's always rushed, getting done, and always about like checking off the box, getting off. Is much more present, take your time, be fully present whatever she's doing. And when she's doing something which is so beautiful, the next thing on the list doesn't really exist on some level, I would say. Opposed to me, I would say like I'm eating lunch, I'm not thinking about the lunch, like I don't even appreciate it. It's all about what's going to be after, how am I going to clean up, how. So that's definitely a struggle, you know. I'm always, first of all, like there's just the natural, like I want to be on time and she's like, okay, but she also wants to be on time, which is higher. But then there's like me like getting super anxious and not being able to accept necessarily the situation that we're in. Like at a certain point in time, like this is the reality and now like you just have to accept it. So that I would say is hard for me. And then I would say it's also really hard for just the way I operate, that I do stuff so fast. She's like, whoa, like why are you in such a rut? Like, can you tell me what's going on? What are we doing? Like for me, like I'll take care of three stuff before she even notices. And then she just like, she felt lost. So I think that's very hard for her, which makes a lot of sense because before she blinks, like I'm just in and out and she's not used to something like that. And also as a guy, I don't communicate as much. So like for me, it's like if I park the car and run into a rest stop, like implicit in that as like, okay, I'm just going to about whatever. She's like, wait, where are you going? What are you doing? Why are you stopped? Like, so I think just guys and girls communicate differently. It could be just whatever. So I guess that would say that's like one of the challenges that are coming up.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. That makes a lot of sense and paints a little bit more of a more clear picture. Is there anything you would add to that? Or is that kind of what you would have described as well in terms of where the challenge is?
That is probably one of our main challenges right now. I would say that my husband mentioned that the communication piece, I just want to highlight that I think that he's actually doing a really good job. I know good job is subjective, but I do think that to me, it feels like there's a little bit of like a harsh myth in terms of a judgment of how we're doing. I definitely think it is a struggle, but again, even in me saying this, this highlights just the way that I look at things is so different, where I'm sensing even urgency in terms of how he brings up our struggle. And I don't even have that around that. And I think that's actually a live demonstration of actually what's happening on a day-to-day basis, which I think is really cool how that came up right now.
Can you tell me, am I getting this right? Meaning that what you're saying is he's experiencing or portraying this picture of himself as kind of falling short for you or doing something that's problematic for you and, you know, communicating that as if it's an issue or a bigger issue. And you're saying you're not even necessarily really experiencing such an issue in what he's doing.
I would say that I wouldn't use the word issue. I would say that it's something that requires some attention, and I would love to fine tune it and tweak it to help that it works together more seamlessly. I would say that it could be perhaps that his distress on this is much higher, which makes sense. And that's why he brings it to the table like that. And at the same time, I don't experience that much distress around this unless in the moment it feels hard and challenging. And I think then that in of itself is hard for my husband to watch me in that moment. And then I meet me, it becomes like, oh, this whole thing is hard.
Got it. Okay. Is it possible to give me a specific example? I know those are hard sometimes, but it helps me kind of see the dynamic a little bit more if there's an example that's a little more detailed.
So do you want to do the bank?
Me?
Okay. Do you want to go ahead and start off?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So the other day, so we just got married. So, you know, Baruch Hashem, we got a bunch of gifts and checks. And we wanted to deposit them in the bank. So we made a bank account, joint bank account. And then they said that there's some checks that are made out to like Mr. and Mrs. under my last name. So since we didn't get legally married, she's still under her maiden name. So you have to get married, bring in the marriage certificate, and then we'll get the checks. We're like, okay, fine. Now, again, this is part of how we operate. Thanks.
I love that you're both laughing. And I'm also laughing because I love how like couples have these like the bank. You want to do the bank, right? It's like we all have like these stories, like, oh, the apartment or the, you know, like every couple has like their like stories, right?
Yeah.
Like my wife and I, like the hide and seek story. Like there's everyone has these stories. It's kind of like a funny thing, but it's great when the initial, even if there's, you know, challenge or distress in it, it's great when there's, you know, laughter along with it. Okay. Sorry to cut you off.
No, definitely. So after we finally, so that was a whole thing. We got legally married. Baruch Hashem and Lakewood, they do it much faster, but that was like a whole thing until whatever, fine. So we got the thing and then we're like, okay, we have to go to the bank. Now the bank's also a whole thing. Plus my wife works 9 to 5 and that's generally when the bank's open. So that's not really so convenient. So finally we went to TD. They're open on Sunday, a whole thing. It was a whole, like one Sunday we're like, okay, we're going to the bank. They close at 2. So at like 12:45, I'm like, let's go to the bank. Again, this could be part of like, in my head, it was like, obviously we're going to go, but that was only voiced at 12:45, whatever. So at 12:45, I was like, do you want to go to the bank? Are you going to be ready? Maybe at like 12 o'clock. Yeah, 100%. I'm going to be ready. We're going to go. So we hustle and bustle. And as just the nature, we were still where we were for Shabbos. We were packing up. The bank was like 2 minutes away. We had to pack up for Shabbos and everything. And then also, the way I pack and the way my wife packs is a little different. So finally, we get into the car at 1:30. Okay, the bank closes at 2 o'clock. That's no problem. We hustle, bustle. We pull up 1:40. We pull up inside the bank. All our documents, everything. We get there. There's like a line of like 5 people there. Then the manager was also like a little nasty. He wasn't really being so, he wasn't flexible or whatever. And he's like, sorry, you can't come. It's there's too many people. Come back a different time, whatever. So like that. So I was like, okay, whatever. We like process, whatever. And then like we walked out. And then that was like a really hard moment for me because in my head, it was like, hey, it takes hours for us to get to the bank. We finally get to the bank. Again, like, partly the bank's fault that we get there 20 minutes before ending and they didn't let us in. But like partly also like we could have came like a few minutes earlier. And just this whole process, okay, the next time, it's like takes so much work and energy to get out. And it's hard to communicate also that because also if I say we need to go to the bank, then like I say it in an intense way, then it's also hard for it. Like everything needs to be done and not needs, but I mean, yeah, it needs to be done in a more gentle way than I'm used to. In my head, it's like, you want to go to the bank? Okay, we're going. It's like a whole, it's not like as simple on her. And I totally get that. So that was just like a really hard moment. And in my head, I processed like, okay, we're never going to go again. The checks are going to be bounced. Everything's also in my and urgent. So like the checks were already given 3 months ago. They have to be checked. It's like a whole, everything is system. And my wife's like, I don't even understand. Like, well, we're going to go tomorrow. We'll go the next day. I'm like, so it was just a cut. She was like, not really understanding. I mean, she understood, but for her, it was like, okay, we'll just go through it. Like, what's the whole big deal? Like, why don't you make a whole thing? For me, it was like a whole frustrating experience. It's like, we didn't get it done. We're never going to get it done. I don't know what's going to happen. Our whole
And then what happened next? or when you're describing this, you know, like what was, you're saying it was a whole big thing. What does that mean? It was a whole big thing.
I think it was like a
like you were shutting down. You were getting angry. You were like, what was happening?
Barbershop, I didn't express, like, I wasn't like, I didn't get super angry or like express any like harsh words or any, like, I would say overall I was calm. But being that my wife knows me really well, she was able to, like, I internally, it was a very frustrating experience, I would say. I don't know if I, like, yeah, I didn't, like, on a behavioral level, I didn't, like, scream or, like, bark. So I'm, like, I guess overall remained my cool on some level, but, like, I was frustrated. And I did express that, like, it's hard for me. And she was able to see how hard it was for me. And then I guess it was challenging for her that, like, why is this such a big deal? Like, this is such a, like, if you want to really go to the bank, you could sit down with me. I'll talk, like, I'll be there, which is definitely true. I mean, I think it's harder than she may think it is, or maybe, like, just whatever. But, yeah, it was just, like, for me, like, I have to look at the whole world, like, in 30 seconds. So, like, we have to have all the answers right now. What are we with the bank? What are they going to be posited? When are they, like, everything? Ferretto, oh, hey, we're going to the bank. We'll go. We'll figure it out.
Right, right. Okay, what was your, can you describe the, what your experience of that sequence was?
So, in the beginning, there was a conversation about, can we go to the bank today? They close around, let's say, 2 o'clock. And I had thought we were first going to do something else. I knew we didn't have like a specific plan. I know it was like being formulated. I would say that, yeah, my husband spoke to me and said, like, let's try to go before they close. And it was around 12:30. And so in my mind, I was like, okay, I'm going to try to do that. Like, I'm going to try to commit to that. And then I don't really have such a, I would say, like, linear sense of time. And I am very present in the things that I do. So, and at the same time, I didn't think it was such a big deal to get to the bank, 20 minutes beforehand. Because the type of thing that we needed, I knew only took 1 minute. I hadn't thought through that if there were 6 other people, then we're going to be able to do that. So
I do want to name, that was unexpected. And that, like, that was really totally on the bake. That was like a negative on their end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I actually want to say, like, I don't know if it, like, again, like, I don't know if about fault or anyone's, like, fault, the bank's fault, my fault, like, my husband's fault. For me, it was just like my experience was that, by the time we got there, that's the time we got there. And now they told us we can't come. So when we left, I left in the state of, like, this is just a day and this happened. And, like, okay, what's next? Like, there was, like, nothing really attached to it in terms of distress, thought process of, like, frustration. It just, like, was. Like, this just was reality. And I was already thinking in my head, let's, like, go tomorrow. I'll just, like, go to work a little bit later and then I'll just maneuver my schedule. And then I noticed right away that my husband was really, really, I would say, like, charged. It was very emotional for him. And then I asked him, I noticed, like I said, like, are you feeling frustrated? Like, what's going on? And then he explained that it was for all the reasons that he mentioned, which I truly understood, how he feels like it's a very complicated process to get, let's say, us to work together to do a task, and he wants to get it done. And then he explained he doesn't want the checks to have to go back to the people and ask them to rewrite the checks. And then it was so interesting because, like, I was like, okay, so we'll ask the people to rewrite the checks. Like, it's just, why is that even so bad? Okay, but then I understood, again, this is really important to him. Like, he doesn't want to ask them to rewrite the checks, so that's important to him. So then I was like, okay, how can I adjust myself to give to him in that way? Because I think that's really important for him, for us in a relationship. So we spoke about it, and I think that... It was a hard few moments. And then I did know that, it, for me, it felt like a little bit overwhelming. And I did I said, like, can we just go back home now? And then we had him like really like, I would say like, if that was a gutia rupture, I would say it was more about like that it was the rupture continued. I went back. We went back to the house, and then my husband had something else scheduled. So then he went to do that. And those were very hard moments for me where I just like thought about like what I have processed. I definitely felt a little bit of hopelessness. I felt like I didn't really know exactly how to guide either myself, him, in terms of this experience. And I felt a little stuck. And then what was helpful was that afterwards, when he came back home, he had said that he had reached out to a mentor of his, and he had relayed some things that were helpful in terms of saying, okay, you know what, maybe like it's like we can just go a different day or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So a few things. First of all, just to acknowledge, like everything you guys are describing is kind of like in a really good place. Like if this is the problem, like we're winning.
The part of me that doesn't like when you say that, but yeah, I have to.
A part of you doesn't like when I say that?
But I have to acknowledge it. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But what, so tell me about that for a minute. What's the part of you that doesn't like that?
It's a part of me that wants like marriage. We're going to get everything right. And like, it's going to be hard to communicate, but we're just going to do work our head off. And like, we're just going to have a great marriage, like right from the start. And there's not going to be any rupture. And just like,
you are getting everything right. You're getting the moments of disagreement right.
Right. But if I go back, like that day was really hard for her. And that was really hard for me. Like I had a frustrating experience. Okay, let's just leave it. That was right. Hard for me. That, like right. Lasted a few minutes.
Right. So, but hold on. I'm just offering you this interesting paradox, right? Yes, it was a hard day. You did the hard day right.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that.
So I would say in terms of that message, how does one internalize that message? Like how can I be a support for him in terms of integrating that message? Because that's like words that you're saying, right? But how does that like enter into a state of like not just like being a soft, having a process.
Right,
like,
right. So but hold on. So I you know, I know you responded like nicely by like saying, you know, that was interesting, but like sitting with it for a second, like how does that actually go into you? What do you Does the part of you that initially didn't like it feel any differently right now?
Yeah, I would say there's a lack. That part has a lack of awareness about like for me, it's very black and white. So like if there's a disagreement, then like, OK, that means there's automatically guaranteed a problem. Like there's an issue. There's like they can understand like that there's going to be issues and we're going to navigate them correctly. Right. So I guess so like you want.
Can I pause you on that for a second? Mm-hmm. So when you think of what you just said right now, and you think of there being a disagreement, what do you notice physically in your body?
I just feel uncomfortable. It's like, I don't want to sit in that space.
Okay. Where do you notice the discomfort? What's the sensation? Where is it in your body?
I would say it's somewhere between my stomach and chest.
Okay. Can you describe it a little bit more, like what the sensation is?
It's like a shivering, I don't know, it's like jittery. It's like... Okay. Like I need to get out.
Okay. Okay. Is it okay to stay for another moment with it? Noticing the desire to get out, but we're going to stay if it's okay.
It's like not ideal, but we could do it.
Okay. Okay, great. I'll take that. So I don't want to stay here because if I stay here, then what? First thing that comes up. Okay. Would you say that there's a feeling of fear?
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And how do you notice the fear in your body? Is that the sensation you were saying before? Is the fear somewhere else?
The fear is like, I wouldn't say fear is like the first feeling. The first feeling is like, if I stay here, then that leads to like a fear that the marriage is going to disintegrate. So that the fear like provokes that feeling to automatically go action and like stay far away. Don't say sure. I feel fear, sure. But I feel like the fear is, you know.
Well, what's happening is you're not your responsiveness to fear is so quick and strong and immediate and efficient that you don't actually experience the fear.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Meaning the disagreement and the solutionizing of it is what we call overcoupled. And the fear is what we call undercoupled. So there's a stimulus and there's a response that get overcoupled. Like they're so, it's like bam, bam. One happens and the other automatically comes with it. But the other, the stimulus is there's a disagreement and the response is solve the disagreement. But the reason they got overcoupled, they go so quickly from one to the other, is in order to not experience the fear, right? So the fear becomes invisible.
Well, yeah, 100%.
So it's exactly like you were saying, like the fear is there, but it's not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you notice right now in your body?
I'd say I feel much more calm because like you just shine like a lot of light. Like I feel much more clear on what's going on some level. Mm.
Okay. So take a moment just to notice that, maybe even enjoy it. Do you have any sense of where this kind of, you know, overcoupling, undercoupling, if we just use that terminology for a second, where that may have developed or come from for you? Like where there's like disagreement means that we're going to go to this, to the worst, it's going to go to the worst place.
I'd say how I grew up like, I'm saying brought up some like, no like major issues, or maybe this is, but like my mom is like very anxious, all like on a very subconscious internal level, and everything's like a national emergency. So like tunneling spills, like oh my gosh, like you know, like how whatever means right. It's like 300 degrees and you're gonna get broke, like even though if it's like warm, you know,
right. It's lukewarm,
yeah, everything's like shemmy shmar, oh my gosh. So right. I think like growing up, like I had a big sense of like, it's not okay to be not okay.
Right, right, right. What do you notice in your body now as you're describing that?
I'd say like validation, but I'd say I feel validated, but it's just like hard for me. Cause like, yeah.
Yeah. Where do you, is it okay that I'm focusing on him so much right now?
Oh, totally.
Okay, okay, just want to check, okay.
I think it's, where do you, yeah, I would say like, I think it's helpful for both of us. I think it shines a light on if someone is, spent time with in terms of like therapeutic work on one person, it's not one or the other. That's just how I look at it again.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally. Just wanted to check in there.
Thanks.
Yeah. So where do you notice that validation feeling in your body?
The validation. First of all, sure, like the pain is like just like, get stronger.
Okay, yeah, we could start there. I was going to go to
that's in my stomach. And the validation feels like someone's like on my shoulders, like just like holding me.
Ah, beautiful. Okay, so just notice that feeling in your shoulders for a moment, being held. Yeah, notice that deep breath. And then if you shift your attention over to your stomach and the pain there, I'm curious, is there a memory, an image? Is there anything that comes up along with that sensation?
Oh. So I'll tell you what's like the hardest part about like this whole thing. It's like the way my wife grew up, like she didn't have the easiest childhood, but like a lot of it was acknowledged and like she brought her parents to like family therapy and like, again, like in the way, like like if you look at our overall situations, could be like I was more privileged and there's less trauma. But for her, there's like a lot of like awareness and clearness and like her mom went to therapy and like that.
Like for me, like I brought up a few times, like, I had this conversation with my mom, like, I think you're anxious. And like, there was total denial and total like look at like all the kids and people are healthy, you know, and like this, okay. There's a fit, like, the, really between me and you, I think there's like a whole world growing. I think a lot of people are going to need a lot of therapy, just like I needed. And like, you know, sure. And if we go on a deep level, like people are really struggling, but like on paper, it's picture perfect. Everybody's from. So like, there's a lot of like pain, like there's like no hope in terms of like my mother ever acknowledging. Like if I could just sit down and tell her all the pain that caused me, I feel so validated, but I don't even know how to get there because like, I don't think she even has the clearance to understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. Would it be okay right now to imagine doing that? And imagine your mother having, as you said, the Kalem, imagine her having somehow, you know, there's like fairy dust sprinkled on her magically, and she emerges into this fullest, best version of herself. Like she has everything she needs to be fully in her, in the most actualized version of herself, that she can totally be there for you. She can totally show up however you needed. And imagine telling her what you want to tell her. And you can say it out loud to us right now, or you can just do it in your head. Does that feel doable, or is there something coming up?
It's the reason why it's like not doable is 24 or so, and I lived at home for most of, I'm saying I left out of town at 14, but like, let's just put like 17 years of like super anxious living life. Like, I don't know how to couple that into a few, like, it's just so vast and so, I want to say, like, unfortunately, like a lot of darkness, and like, I don't know how to like that would need to be with like a team of like therapists to like help fully put that into words.
Yeah. So can you notice the activation now in your body?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you feel that? What's happening? Can I say what I'm sensing? And you can always tell me if it's not accurate. What I'm sensing is before there was a moment of kind of like a softness of like wanting validation in kind of like a soft way. And then as I mentioned that idea, what actually came up was much more of the kind of activation, like what I was sensing was like an animalistic primal desire to like rage, like to let out, like I had a flash of like imagining you on this screen, like yelling, right? Just like primal raw, like no words, just raw, like with claws on your hands.
Yeah. It's resentment definitely came up like at a strumming level.
Yeah. So can you allow that in? Because it's actually a very important and healthy response. Because that level of anxiety around you is like suffocating. It's like claustrophobic, squeezes you. So the response somewhere in your nervous system, there's a response of wanting to like break free from that.
Yeah, I mean, I think I could update what's just coming up is that I don't want to have resentment to hurt my parents. I want to have a hot life.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's not think about it right now as resentment towards your parents. Let's think about it right now as a natural response of wanting to break out of a chain. I know this might sound very bizarre, but like if you could literally imagine yourself as an animal, what animal comes to mind?
A lion.
A lion, okay. So can you picture that? Like picturing yourself as a lion.
But that's so it sounds so scary and dangerous. Like I'm just thinking about like me hanging around kid. Like I don't like, I want to be safe.
Yeah. You will be much more safe when the lion inside of you is expressed in an environment like this than if there's a lion living inside of you unexpressed until, God willing, you'll have kids and one of your kids does something that bothers you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So back to the.
Yeah, but well, let's take it slow. Just notice what you're feeling right now. We don't have to get to any of the things I just mentioned. They'll come when they're supposed to come, and you know that won't necessarily be today. It takes time, but we're just taking it slow. What do you notice right now?
I would say I have to feel like fully seen, like from my full self. And I'm noticing the resentment, and I would say, I don't know if I'm fully okay, but I would say I'm almost okay with having that resentment and letting it out.
Okay. So what do you notice physically? What's in your body right now physically?
Physically, I would say I feel like a little heaviness in my stomach. I would say like my head feels very relaxed. We're calm.
Okay, so let's notice the calm in your head. Yeah, noticing that deeper breath, long exhale. If the heaviness in your stomach could speak, what would it say if it had its own words, not from your mind?
It just feels like it's a lot. And I would say, just to be honest, I feel sorry that my wife has to experience this also, even though I know what part that's coming from. But there's a part of me that wanted to show up to marriage like perfect. So,
Well, and that's partially a beautiful thing. It's not bad. It's a matter of balance, but it's not a bad thing.
Right.
The very sensitive and sweet and caring part of you that I imagine makes you very endearing and a good husband.
Thanks. But to have it, it's mainly just that, this thing is unresolved. And I don't know if it ever will be resolved, but just that, we're in, a deep, complex place that needs some work.
Yeah. Have you done, I'm just curious and I don't remember, have you done work on this, aspect of yourself and your childhood and your mother?
Great question. Definitely on some level. I could tell you my history. No, I'm 24 now. So 2020, I started thinking as that therapist. But my life was there was no awareness at all. Mental health, I have very extreme high level of ADHD. And since I always got high marks in my tests, nobody ever thought to look into that, whatever. So there was just a lot of trauma and struggle with that. So both I was with a therapist for a year, and then I met a really good coach, and we worked together, and we still work together. He's now licensed, but we did a lot of work for the past 2.5-3 years. So I'd say a lot of all that work got my life to a manageable place where I'm able to feel good about myself, grow me a lot of self-awareness. So, and that we did a lot of work in resentment, but could be that was just on a basic level to be able to want to have a relationship with my mother and to feel comfortable on some level. So I would say on a deeper level, no, not really, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that to me is great. That's the most hopeful thing imaginable because, to your point of could this be resolved? This can totally be resolved. Nothing is ever, solved. Nothing's permanent and fixed and perfect. I guess that's our topic, right?
Yeah.
but this can be worked through. But what I want to say is it's interesting. You started off by saying how, I didn't really have anything. My childhood, maybe a little bit, my mother was anxious, right? But then as you described it more and more, this is significant. This is quite significant. It's very real. It was pervasive. It was chronic. There's a lot inside of you that you're carrying from it. And then on top of that, what you mentioned, that none of it was ever named.
Yeah.
Right. So what's it like to just, we're not going to work through all of it right now, but what's it like to acknowledge that there is something real to work through, not just minimal or marginal. There's something real to work through. I experienced something significant.
It definitely feels very validating, especially to hear someone like you say that. And then for me to be able to accept it, I would say there's so much years of rebellion and just my mom and everything in the background, listened. Basically, my whole life until 21, all I was doing was white knuckling. So there's all that, listen, you could do this. You're strong in it. Stop obsessing over, this little, okay, fine, your mother was a little anxious. People have been through real, verbal, sexual, physical abuse. Chill out.
Yeah, yeah. So that actually brings me to kind of back to the dynamic and the coupleship that I want to highlight, if that's okay. So coming back to the two of you together, something that I think that what we want to try and do is realize that that perspective that they gave you actually has merit and could be helpful and maybe was helpful for a time, but it also has a limit. So what I mean by that is, everything has a cost and a benefit. Every gift, every benefit has a cost. There's no escaping that. The only exception to that rule is God, because everything is finite besides God. And for something to be finite, by definition, what that means is that it's mutually exclusive to something else. So it gives you something, but by giving you what it's giving you, it means you're losing something else. So every coping mechanism, every personality trait, every quality has a benefit and a cost. And nothing's free. So much so that even something free is not free, because the cost of being free is that it's free, right? So everything has a cost and a benefit. You bring into this relationship a tremendous gift. That kind of like work ethic, focus, get things done, orderly, you know, on time, we have to take care of things. All of that is a tremendous gift, and relationships need that. The cost of it, the cost that comes with that kind of efficiency, is sometimes being pulled out of the ability to experience the experiences. Like, I can't be here now. I can't be present to this because I'm really thinking about how to be efficient, right? I can't allow for more depth to open up because I'm really just kind of thinking about everything. On the flip side, your gift that you bring to the relationship sounds like, I mean, we didn't spend as much time on you today, but sounds like it's the gift of being really, really present, of being really in the moment, really in flow, being open, curious, just kind of like living, you know, living, not doing, right? And that's a tremendous gift and quality. Like, it's so incredible. And relationships and people and the world need that. The cost is that sometimes it can come with forgetfulness, losing things, mistakes, you know, mindlessness, and you know, and that can have that can have costs. That can have real costs. But that's the beauty of being in a relationship, because you're you know, people think like basheret means like you marry the perfect person for you. I think what it means is that you marry the perfect person for your imperfections and your struggles to be complemented in a way that either spirals each other more into the costs of your gifts, or forces you to figure out how to channel and utilize your gifts and balance out the costs. You can't get rid of the cost, but you can balance it. So I'm going to refer to the two of you as Mr. and Mrs., right? So that I can, yeah, okay, just for the sake of this. So when Mr. is being super efficient and not as present, and Mrs. is wanting to be really present, that can make Mr. more anxious, because it's like, okay, but we have things we have to do, which makes Mrs. want to be more present, because like, I don't want to do that stuff. That is not my thing. That's not my jam. I don't want that, which makes Mr. more anxious, which makes Mrs. more wanting to be more present and more defensive of that, and more, you know, I don't have to take care of it because you're taking care of it. And I want to just be, and it spirals each of you more into the costs. But the other possibility is the exact opposite, is that Mr. wants to be efficient, but realizes that, hold on, there's a cost to being so efficient. And actually my Mrs. surfaces the beauty of how important it is to be present. So I want to try and balance out my cost a little bit, to be a little bit, maybe a little bit less efficient or a little more skillful in my efficiency so that I can be present. And Mrs. the same way. My Mister brings this efficiency thing, which actually I could use some of that. So I want to still be me, and I want to still bring my gift to the table of presence. But I also want to take and adjust and adapt to that more efficient mindset. And so now what happens, instead of the spiraling outwards, we spiral inwards off of each other, right? So Mister's efficiency starts to lean towards presence because of Mrs. Presence, and Mrs. Presence leans towards efficiency because of Mr.'s efficiency. And they both, and now what, think about what happens. If Mr. starts to get a little more present, what happens to Mrs.? She starts to realize, you know what, maybe I should take some of the responsibility because he's not holding all of it anymore. And if she starts to take some of the responsibility, now Mr. feels a little less anxious because someone else is also holding some of the responsibility. And so now it goes in a feedback loop, not of negativity, but a feedback loop of actually balancing out and being who you are, but now complementing each other and enhancing each other. And that's the possibility of what's able to happen in a marriage, which is, I mean, that's Azer Connect, though. It's incredible. That's what a marriage can be, which is cool because you guys are starting this out so early. So you really have that possibility from the ground up. There's obviously more to talk about. You know, individually for each of you in terms of what you're bringing here and how that dynamic plays out. Obviously I wish we had more time. I apologize to kind of ramble at the end there and then kind of leave you, but I'm curious just before we go off, like what you're sitting with each right now.
For me, I'm remembering when we came back from the bank and I was feeling a lot of hopelessness, and I'm like bringing up the feeling that I have now, which is, I think what you had asked us in the beginning, what we hope to get out of this. And I named some clarity and direction in terms of this struggle. So I'm bringing up that hopelessness and I'm just letting it see like the reality of this moment, and letting it know that like feelings they're strong and they're very, for me at least, all encompassing sometimes. And the more like times that we experience, I would say like for when I experience the positivity and the hopefulness, then the more that those emotions can just be like my husband was like practicing in terms of like experiencing that whole emotion.
Right. What about you?
What's coming up for me is, first of all, like you're showing some clarity in that, like, if I can try to be more present, that will actually help me lower my anxiety because I won't have to be on path of getting everything done. So that's definitely helpful. But I also say, like, there's a lot of clarity. Like for me, after a lot of interactions, even though I think we have great communication, for me, it's like, if only I wouldn't have done. But like from what's coming out is like there's real parts of me, and like it's okay. Like you don't have to have everything settled right. Like a disagreement is actually can be beautiful when you communicate and sort that out. So like a lot of that anxiety and urgency to get everything done feels a little released.
Yeah. How do you notice that in your body right now?
I definitely feel it in my chest.
Mm-hmm. What does it feel like?
Relief.
Mm-hmm. What's the sensation, the physical sensation?
Sensation feels like, it feels like happiness dissipating. Like,
like releasing. Yeah. Wow. Dissipating. Okay. So I would encourage you to actually just like sit with that for a moment. If we had more time, I would stay here and sit with you in that and giving it as much time as it wants to dissipate. Because that's huge. Yeah, so just stay with that. Okay, thank you both so much. This was such a pleasure.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to this session I had with this couple. And I want to really thank them for their time and vulnerability, willingness to do this with me. I was personally very moved by them. I thought it was very inspiring and really a pleasure to work with two young individuals who are so open, so growth-oriented, so honest, and real in their search and desire for connection and to building a deep relationship with one another and willingness to look at what's their own stuff that they're bringing into this. I want to highlight just for a few minutes in kind of reflecting on the session, a few different things that I think were noteworthy in this session. The first is that, as you saw, actually a lot of this couple's session really ended up being more individual therapy. And this is actually something I do a lot with couples. People can sometimes be nervous to focus in so much on one person in a couple session because, well, then what's the other person doing? They're just sitting there. But I don't see it that way at all. I think for both people, it's very powerful to have some quote-unquote individual therapy take place in the context of a couple. Number one, the witness individual, the one who is more passive, while in this case it was the wife, while her husband was working through things, she's gaining so much insight into her husband. And it oftentimes is able to surface a level of understanding and compassion that one spouse can have for another when they understand more deeply, when they understand in a more holistic way what's actually happening for their spouse, and they're not just experiencing the negativity of their difficult behavior or difficult response to something. So I think in this case, for the wife to see where this was coming from in her husband and what it was about and what he's actually experiencing, it can really invoke deeper connection, deeper understanding, like I said, compassion, insight, patience, kindness, generosity of spirit, etc. I also think that the individual therapy experience in the context of the couple is very helpful for the person who's quote-unquote getting the therapy, the individual, in this case the husband, because there's something very unique and powerful, actually, about being in that experience with witness, going into my own trauma or background or difficulties, probing and searching deeply, surfacing these things while somebody very close to me is witnessing it and holding space for it. Especially because, as he said at one point in the session, one of the hardest parts of his childhood experience was that whatever difficulties there were, they weren't named, they weren't witnessed, they weren't known. So for them to be named and known between him and his therapist is one thing, which is great. But then for them to be known and witnessed also by his wife is very meaningful and very healing. It's the medicine for the loneliness. The medicine for loneliness is connection. The medicine for isolation is witness. And so I really lean into the opportunity to do that kind of individual work in the context of the couple. There are a few other interesting things to highlight from this session, but that's the main one I wanted to mention. Just kind of quickly, a few different things. I kind of moved quickly in this session between different things we were doing, looking at the concept of undercoupled feelings, his undercoupled feeling of fear. There was a lot more to do there. We also moved kind of quickly in terms of looking at what came up for him when he thought about his childhood experience in his home and when there was distress and dysregulation. And we jumped around, we tried different exercises and imaginations and responses and moved from anger to sadness and all these different types of things. And that's not so uncommon, even though I usually like to go much more slowly and drop into something very deeply. But sometimes when we're exploring or opening something up for the first time, in a sense, it's kind of helpful to touch on it from multiple different angles. It's almost like trying to, if you're trying to open something up like a jar, or I don't know, whatever it might be, something that's stuck, and it's like you try and pull it from one side and it barely budges just a little bit, and then you go to the other side and pull it and it moves just a little bit, and then you go back to the first side and then you go to the top and then to the bottom. You keep moving around, and each time you're kind of loosening it up from one angle at a time, and it's going to keep coming back around. And then once we've kind of done those initial loosenings of the system, the bolts all become a little looser, then we can drop more deeply and sit in the experience of one aspect of it in a more real way. And I think that's kind of what's happening here, that we kind of moved around, we approached it from different angles, each just a tiny little bit, loosening it all up, and then he'll have the possibility of going more deeply into whatever needs to be addressed. And the cool thing about working with the body as the source of what we're doing here is that the body, as the name of the well-known book, The Body Keeps the Score, the body will always bring us back to where we need to go. So if we missed something or if we move too quickly, we're not going to lose it. It's going to surface itself again. It's going to make itself known again. The last thing to just mention is how interesting it was that this couple had this, you know, this contrast in their nature in such a strong way. And I think this is something we'll get to in future sessions and episodes a lot, but there's this line that we all marry our unfinished business. And what was so moving about this couple is that they saw that as an opportunity. Meaning, the other person might be in contrast with us in a way that surfaces what we can work on, what we can focus on, how we can better ourselves, as opposed to looking at it as something that gets in my way. It's something that maybe purposefully gets in my way and that can help me by getting in my way. It can force me to see what I need to see in myself. And oftentimes people don't have any of those issues until they get married. So they're like, wait, so what's wrong with this relationship that it's surfacing all my issues? But it's actually the exact opposite. Until we have enough safety, our issues can't make themselves known. So the fact that in my marriage, my issues are coming into view more is not indicative of a problematic relationship. It's actually indicative of the fact that now I've exited the area of my problems. While I was in the environment of the problems, I couldn't see them because I was actually living in them. And while I was living in them, I needed to just continue using all the previous coping mechanisms I always had. It's only once I've exited, I've fundamentally exited. I'm now living in a new family unit with my spouse in our own home. I've exited my old family unit. I haven't disconnected or severed it, but I've exited. I'm fundamentally in a different unit, a different space. Now I can actually see what those problems were. And that's why the marriage relationship is oftentimes where we now encounter these problems. And instead of projecting them onto our spouse as it's their fault or doing something wrong, it's actually because there's safety here and having left my original environment that now I can see what I need to see. Which I think is a very deep and important way of looking at marriage as and the relationship. So all of these are themes that I think we'll get back to again and again in all these sessions, and hopefully we'll be able to explain and articulate and see more and more clearly in different ways for all of us. So thank you again so much for listening. Thank you to this couple for allowing all of us to benefit from their work and their growth. And thanks for listening.